Good to see everyone out this morning. Get all hooked up here. Somebody flipped it. We'll get it right. It'll be just fine.
And I had a little technical difficulty this morning, and I had a lot of help trying to get it right. And we still had trouble. And I appreciate the extra help, but I'm going to have to work a little different this morning. And as a teacher, I'm used to that. I'm okay with it. If you're a technology person who is over technology in a building of any sort, I appreciate what you do because your job is hard and it's taxing and people don't understand what you have to do to make things work. But when you're a teacher and your technology doesn't work like you want it to, you get frustrated, right? And you tend to take it out on the person who's supposed to fix it, and they're doing all they can do to fix it. So I appreciate the help that I had this morning in getting things together. I hope that what I say this morning will be beneficial to you. I know it was beneficial to me to look over this, and there's a series of sermons through this. I got a pamphlet from one of Brendan's letters. I got a lot of his books. It's very good. So I got a lot of information. And I'm never going to be able to read it all. Anyway, but our adversary, the devil, Satan, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, in the band world, of course, you know, I know I'm going to talk about that because I'm a band director, but I'm going to talk about football too. I'm going to talk about soccer for just a second. In all those aspects, when you go up in competition against somebody and you want to beat them, you study your opponent. You get to know them. When we go to choose a band contest, when we're going to go see who we're going to compete against, we kind of study, what are they doing? What show are they doing? Who's in the band this year? Who's the band director? We look at all that. I know from our football coaches that every Saturday morning when football season starts, that next day they're studying their tapes, and then the next week they're studying the team's opponent's tapes. They're going and checking out who's over there. Who's the new coach there? What's their offensive lineman doing? What's their defensive lineman doing? I'm pretty sure soccer people do as well. I'm sure anybody who's trying to overcome somebody, even Jason, you know, we go to his races. We go, who's that racer? Where is he from? Who's he race for? We check them all out, right? If we don't know who we're competing against and we don't acknowledge them, we can't beat them, right? And the devil, he's out to get us. Satan is out to get us. And we're going to use some reading from Job. I'm going to try to keep it simple this morning. But if you want to open your Bibles to Job, we're going to read from there in just a minute just to kind of get us into this. And the title is, What Can We Learn About Satan from Job? So if you want to turn over to Job chapter 1, we're going to read verses 6 through 11. It says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, From where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down upon it. And the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed him and the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Here, we have Satan here introduced, right? Among the sons of God, and then there was Satan. Satan, right? We have to know. We have to not give place to him. Some little things here we need to think about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. It says simply, give no opportunity to the devil, right? We have to resist him from James 4 and verse 7. But to resist him, we have to know who he is. What is he doing? How does he attack us? You know, and sometimes when we say the word devil or we talk about Satan, we think about something that's really evil or ugly, and sometimes it's things that are right under our nose, right? He's very crafty. He's determined to get people to serve him. If you look over in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it talks about him walking about like a roaring lion. That verse has always just really got my mind, because it, for me, it paints a picture. And I'll never forget, I think as long as I live, I'll never forget visiting the zoo down in Gulf Shores. And we were walking through the zoo, and we passed the lion exhibit. There they were. They were massive creatures. If you've ever seen one, I've been up close to one. They're pretty huge. But when that lion roared, the fear in me, wanting to run out of that zoo, I'm telling you, it was unnerving. It got my attention. So when I read that verse, and it says he goes about like a roaring lion, that still gives me chills to think about that. Because I'm in a zoo. There is a 16-foot fence, or 17, or 20, doesn't matter. It's a chain-link fence, and I'm going, that thing's strong. Is that fence really going to hold it? You know? If you've never heard a lion roar in person, I'm telling you, it hits you in the chest. It's something about it. It gets you. But when it says he goes about like a roaring lion, if I haven't got you, if I haven't built you a picture, he is strong. Hey, he's crafty. He uses wild schemes. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. It says there, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Okay? We must not be ignorant of his devices. We must know, excuse me, how he is going to come at us. If we don't recognize it, and we don't define who he is and know who he is, he's going to sneak upon us, he's going to get us, and then we're in trouble. Right? We're in trouble. And we don't want to be in trouble. To properly resist Satan, we must have knowledge of him and the threat he opposes. Who and what is Satan? Some names that we would hear him called: the supreme evil spirit, the adversary, the serpent. If you look over in Revelations chapter 9, or chapter 12 and verse 9, I'll get that right. Revelations chapter 12 and verse 9, he is called the serpent, Lucifer. In Isaiah 14 and 12, and I had to go back to the King James Version to find the word Lucifer. I looked in the English Standard Version, and I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was something different. And then I went to the American Standard, it was something different. King James mentions him as Lucifer in Isaiah 14, 12. The dragon in Revelations 12 and 7. The god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. The prince of darkness, Ephesians 6, 12. And I have to be a little remiss here. I grew up listening to heavy metal, and my dad would try to steer me from that. Of course, I have to thank Ozzy. He was a prince of darkness when I was growing up. He is obviously of the devil, right? He is. But the devil is the prince of darkness. And now I understand, at an age of 45, I understand why my dad was trying to steer me away from that stuff. And I like that music, right? So I had to find other kinds of music. Dad worked hard at that. The accuser, right? He's known as the liar and the father of lies from John 8:44. And we already mentioned again, he's like a devouring lion. 1 Peter 5 and 8. So we have some names of Satan, some things that he's called, so we can kind of recognize him when he comes up. What about his works? What do we know about Satan? Well, we know that he is accountable before God. And that reading in verse in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 in verse 6. It says again, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Okay? He still has to submit to divine authority. He went before God. God's overseeing him, right? He's compelled to render account to God. God asked him what he was doing.
Well, he told him, right?
Held accountable for God. God knows his mind. In verse 8, you think about it. It says, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? Because he'd already asked him, what were you doing? And he told him where he'd been and what he was doing. Going about the earth to and fro, right? Looking for someone. Well, God sees his mind. So have you considered my servant Job? Right? We know that he is behind the evils of the earth. And verse 7 tells us that he's going to and fro on the earth. And he is unceasing in his activity. He's all the time trying to get us and pull us in. All the time. Well, he's good at his job, right? And it was Brother Caleb and I were talking about some books the other day, and I asked him if he had read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters. And I was kind of telling him about that, and I was reminded of that again when I read through this. And that was one of the books. That's always going to be in my mind because that's the book that I read when Jason was in the hospital, and I think I read it like 3 or 4 times because he was in there for 5 weeks. But as I read that book, the craftiness of, and you have to understand what I'm saying here, the human mind putting on paper the craftiness of the devil and how he thinks. Now, we have to understand that's the human mind thinking. But the way they went about explaining how he worked, and in one of the little short stories, it talked about Wormwood was concerned about, I think it was one, however it goes, there's two guys in there. He was concerned about the guy he was working on, that he was going to lose him to the one that would be God. And he says, oh, don't worry about him. There's a guy sitting right next to him on the pew next to him. We'll take care of him. He's not a problem. We're not going to lose him. The craftiness of the devil, right? He is about his activities all the time. He is unceasing in his activities. We have to be careful in everything that we do, in every situation, to be watchful for what he's trying to bring us into. Because we get caught up in things of the world. All of us do. We have our niches. We have our whatever it is that you like to do. And he's there. Seeing, how can I get to him? How can I pull him away? How can I cause him to suffer? He is not omniscient. He cannot see the mind of man. In Job there, chapter 1, 9 through 11, it says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? If Satan can see the mind of Job, he wouldn't have to ask that question, would he? Does he see, right? He says, does Job fear God for no reason? He does see what God has done. He said, you put a hedge around him. That's what he's saying. When we go back and read, we know that Job was blameless. He feared God, right? He thought he knew Job's mind, but he was mistaken, right? God can see the mind of man. God can see the mind of man, but Satan cannot. He's not divine. So he has some limitations. He's out to get us. We know his name. We know his works. We know that he's all the time going about trying to get us. But he has some limitations. He can do nothing, without divine approval. Can do nothing without divine approval. We know that he goes before God and God asks him what he's doing, and he said he's going to and fro about the earth. And then God says, have you considered my servant Job? And he goes on to say, well, you put a fence around him and you've made him untouchable, basically. And God allows him, but he says, don't touch his person, right? And we go through a process there several times where Satan goes to God and says, well, you've done this, let me do this. And God grants to some extent, right? And we know that Job ends up losing everything. We also see over in Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22 in verse 31 and 32,
Jesus is saying, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. We know that Simon here, Peter, is going to deny Jesus. But it's not going to be forever. He's going to come back to him, right? So there was some allowance there. Satan asked, though, to sift him like wheat. I've never sifted wheat. I've read some, you know, some history books and talked about it. That seems to me, though, it's quite a process. Sift him like wheat. But what happens? What does Jesus do? He prays for him, right? He says, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Okay? He cares for us. But the devil is out to get us. Satan was twice limited in regard to Job, and he's limited in regard to us. And that's the wonderful thing here. Okay, we've got an adversary. We've got somebody who's out to get us. We know his name. We know kind of how he works. We can read it in the Bible. We can see. But he's limited. Well, how is he limited? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. There's some comfort, right? There's some comfort. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. That's tough, right? Where is my ability? It's different for different people, is it not? It's different. But sometimes you ask yourself after you sinned, where did I let this go? Why did I let this go? Why did I let Satan get to me? Well, he's crafty. He's good. He's all the time working at you. So you have to be on guard all the time. But we know that it says here, but with temptation he will also provide the way of escape. The way of escape. How do we escape the devil? Well, if we surround ourselves with the Word of God, we can escape the devil. The more you study and the more you read the Word of God, the more you recognize these things when they come up. And the more conscious you are of your sin when it happens. And it's a humbling experience. I don't know if it's just my age or my process in being a Christian or what, but it seems like the more I study, the more I see, the more I understand. Boy, this is, as Granddaddy would say, son, this is huge. Some of y'all, if I heard him say that, he'd look at, son, this is huge. This is big, right? The process of every day going through struggles, struggles that make us hurt. And when you get to the end of the day, if y'all recognize, when I get through teaching a class at school, if it doesn't go well, I sit down and go, okay, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? How could I have done it better? Well, because I do that, I try to do that with myself, my person, at the end of the day. And I have to think, how did I let Satan drag me down today? Where did I fall short today? Because I'm going to try not to do it the next day. That's what I'm going to try not to do. And I know when I read this passage that God gives me a way of escape. Well, I'm telling you, if you're not on the daily Bible reading, I'm going to tell you for a while I wasn't. If you're not on that daily Bible reading, there's one way. Surround yourself with God's Word. Read it every day. You see examples of where people fall short, where Satan gets a hold of them. But some of these people pull themselves up. They get out of it. And then you read some accounts in there where people are suffering and the devil gets a hold of them. You learn. Learn how to deal with it. So I encourage you, if you're not doing that, to do it. Okay? In spite of what Satan may do, we may suffer because of it.
But we know that God still cares. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter how much He gets hold of us. God still cares. Okay? God still cares for us. No matter what's going on. No matter what sins happen, how the devil's got you, He still cares for us. He's provided a way of escape. So if you're in a simple place, there's a way of escape. If you're alive, there's a way of escape. A way to get away. So, in wrapping things up again real quick, we know who the devil is. We know how he worked with Job. We know how he has limitations. And we know that God cares for us and he gives us ways of escape. If you're not looking at God's word daily, you're missing out. You are missing out. Read the Bible every day. Be a Christian. Acknowledge your sin. The devil's out to get us. That roaring lion. Roaring. Hits you in the chest. He's going to get you. Right? Am I scared of the devil? That's what I have to ask myself. Am I scared of Satan? Well, sometimes I get pretty close to him. Right? I get really close to him. I'm going to tell you, when that lion roared, I was nowhere near that fence. And I wasn't going back over there. Right? I wasn't going back to it. Because I was scared. Am I as scared of the devil? He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Eat up, right? For you young people. If something has caused you to fall short, if something has caused you to sin, recognize that it's Satan working to get you. He wants as many followers as possible. He wants to take as many people away from God as he can. And it's just, that's the point of it. We had a little issue yesterday, and Jace got really upset, and rightly so. If I had been 15 years old in his situation, I'd have been just as upset. Okay? I have to give credit where credit's due. Okay? Because I've been surrounded by Christians, because my parents raised me, because I have you guys, because I have constant reminders, I love it. Now it's coming through on Sunday night, I think. The daily Bible reading schedule. If you're not on the app we have, I forgot what it's called. If you're not on it, Sunday evening, you get a little reminder. Because I've got those things, I thought, and I reached over to my son and I said, in the grand scheme of things, is the way you're acting going to affect your getting to heaven, or is it going to help you get to hell? Why would I have that knowledge? Well, because I've been around people who care, who love, and who are in the same fight that I am against the devil. Right? And boy, am I thankful for all of you for being able to ask him that question. Because when I asked him that question, his look at me changed. And then he said, I got to go somewhere and calm down. I don't need to talk to anybody. You're talking about a proud moment as a parent. Well, I was walking proud. Didn't matter what else happened that day. Didn't matter what else happened, right? But if we're not knowledgeable, if we haven't studied and seen who Satan is and how he works, then when things like that come up, we don't know how to combat it. And we fall into it. And we saw that yesterday. We saw Satan at work and other people. And you're just like, why? If Satan's got you, there's a way of escape. You can get forgiveness of your sins. You can start a new life. Start all over. That's the beautiful thing. No matter what's happened, you can start over. If you haven't been baptized and you haven't chosen Christ as your Savior, then you're basically accepting Satan. Okay? If you know what you're supposed to do and you're not doing it, that's where you are. We're fixing to stand and sing a song. And Don asked me, he said, what you preaching on? I said, Satan. He's like, not got a song for that much, right? Kneel at the cross. I don't know. I think he did a pretty good job, right? We're fixed to sing Kneel at the Cross. If there is something that you need to make known, if you need prayers, if you need help in any way, you can come forward as we stand and sing this song.